There was none of the anger at Mondale's lecture that he says filled the meeting rooms at Atlantic City in 1964. Mondale says President Lyndon Johnson saw the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party's demand to replace the all-white delegation from their state as a threat to his bid for the presidency.
He was afraid that seating the Freedom Democrats would incite a walkout of southern and border states and hand the election to Barry Goldwater.
The confrontation made headlines because the challenge mounted by the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party was broadcast on national television.
My name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
Hamer's accounts of Mississippi blacks being beaten, arrested, and killed for trying to register to vote shocked people. Many Americans were unaware of Mississippi's laws, which forced separation of the races.
Is this America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where we have to sleep with our telephones off of the hook because our lives be threatened daily because we want to live as decent human beings in America?
Hamer and her fellow Freedom Party members won support at the Atlantic City Convention from National Party delegates who were ready to vote to seat them. Freedom Party founder Lawrence Guyot Jr. says that set off some hardball lobbying of delegates from supporters of Lyndon Johnson.
A delegate from California was called and said, look, your husband can be a federal judge. Just stop voting for the Freedom Democratic Party.
The politicking taking place in hotel rooms away from the convention floor was also bare-knuckled. The Reverend Edwin King, a white minister and a founder of the Freedom Democratic Party, remembers the meeting with Hubert Humphrey, United Auto Workers President Walter Reuther, Martin Luther King Jr., and a handful of others. King says Humphrey described Fannie Lou Hamer as an unacceptable spokeswoman for black people.
And then Mr. Humphrey said, and look at her, the way she dresses, her grammar. This is not the kind of person that white America needs to see representing black people.
King says Humphrey's words may have been his own, President Johnson's, or possibly even the view of other blacks concerned about the momentum of the civil rights movement. He recalls when Martin Luther King Jr. said he favored seating the Mississippi Freedom Party, Union President Walter Reuther turned in King's direction.
And then to Martin, almost wagging his finger in Martin Luther King's face, he said, remember who pays for you.
Reuther, King says, was referring to union money donated to pay the bail of jailed civil rights workers. After 4 days of talks, Walter Mondale says the compromise offered the Mississippi Freedom Party was two at-large delegates, who they would not be allowed to choose, and a promise the Democrats would not accept segregated delegations at future conventions. The compromise was rejected by both sides. Fannie Lou Hamer shouted, "We didn't come all this way for no two seats." And the all-white Mississippi delegation walked out. Bitterness deepened when it was learned Johnson had more than two dozen FBI agents and paid informants tailing the Freedom Party throughout the convention. 4 years later, Mondale says, the Democrats had changed the rules.
Whites-only delegations were no longer welcome at our convention. In 1968, an integrated delegation came from Mississippi, which included Aaron Henry, Ed King, Lawrence Guyot, and Fannie Lou Hamer.
Mondale says the civil rights advocates of that era are heroes who held the country together when things were about to fall apart. He says it's tempting to think the victories were inevitable.
But none of it was preordained. All of it was very hard to come by. So when you hear people say that citizens can't do anything, that it is foolish to become involved, that nobody listens, please tell them to take a hard look at American history. And while you're at it, take a look at Fannie Lou Hamer as well.
Former Vice President Walter Mondale, speaking in Minneapolis at the first in a series of lectures about his 50 years in public life. Dan Olson, Minnesota Public Radio.